Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, even driving the car, good job, Onsa. I'm like, thank you, I'm just driving the car, you know.
Hi, Renee. How's it going?
Hey, Caitlin. How are you, mate? Good, all good.
I'm so excited that red clay court tennis is on my TV every day. It's my favorite time of year.
Yes, I know. It's your favorite time. And I'm glad for you because it is, it's long. There you go. Perfect for you.
Perfect for me. I just wish everyone in America, we're recording this a couple of days after John Isner's loss in Madrid meant that there are no men in the top 30 from America since the days of Andre and Pete and Jim Courier and Michael Chang and all those great guys who were really...
Andy Roddick.
It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And I can't help but thinking, if we had more clay courts in America, these guys would learn how to be a little bit more diverse in their skill set. Don't you think that's true?
Well, I mean, I think so. You could make an argument for that. There's no question about that. But I mean, you know, they grow up in hard court. They play big hitting tennis. They want to keep the points reasonably short. And clay is a learned thing. I think it's a little bit easier for the American women to adjust to it. I don't know why, but there is no question. I don't think it's got to do with clay, Caitlin. I think this is an overall problem for men's tennis in the US. I mean, let's face it, they're sucking it. And the women are doing unbelievable. And they keep coming out with new, great, amazing American young female players, but the men, not so much.
Not so much. We have a amazing young Tunisian player on the show today. You had a chance during the Australian Open quarantine period to sit down with the one and only Ons Jabeur, Tunisian, first woman from the Arab world to be in the top ranks of the WTA. And she ended up having an incredible run at the Australian Open. She made the quarterfinals.
You know, this young lady, I love her so much. She's so fun. She's so fun to watch. If you don't really know her or haven't really followed tennis over the last year or two, what are you doing? Because Ons Jabeur is like literally one of the most fun players to watch. She's got the craziest drop shot in women's tennis. Like literally every player that plays her is like has to practice running forward to the net to anticipate the drop shot. But then she can also whack a big forehand. She can whack a big backhand. She's got a good slice. She's very versatile. She likes to come in there. It kind of suits her personality down to T, but she's great. I spoke to her down in the Australian Open, just before the Australian Open. She was in severe lockdown for 2 weeks during this time. So it's kind of ironic that we've made her sit in the vault for this amount of time before we have released this this episode. But, you know, sadly, she had to pull out of her match last week. She's nursing a hamstring injury, so hopefully she's going to be okay for the French Open. So everybody out there, I mean, love this interview, loved talking to her. She's one of my very good friends out there. I just adore her. And I just love that she keeps creeping up that ranking because nobody likes to play Ons because their hamstrings get a workout running for those droppies.
I mean, as you'll hear in the episode, one of the potential collaborations is, I mean, I know she's coached by her husband, so she's not exactly in the coaching market, but you know, Renee Stubbs, coach for hire.
I'm not coach for hire. I've got Sam Stosur still in my wings. And I don't know if I could handle coaching Ons because the drop shot on many occasions would kind of probably drive me crazy. But having said that, oh my God, she'd be so fun to watch all the time as a coach. Frustrating, but also fun.
You guys have too much fun. Her personality really shines through in this interview. It's so fun to hear somebody who is joyous about playing. That's something you can't always say about some of these players. And she just truly strikes me. And you can see it in the way she plays. She's out there having fun and all that variety. You know, I've read she says she gets bored. And, you know, sure enough, you guys talk about it if she doesn't mix it up enough. So, look, you're never going to be bored watching an Ons Jabeur match. I can tell you that.
No, absolutely not. I hope you guys will enjoy this episode as much as I did doing it. And as I said, when we did this interview, she was locked up going stir crazy in a hard quarantine in Australia for 2 weeks. So it was impressive what she did down there. And she keeps climbing up, as I said, up the rankings. So let's, fingers crossed, her injury gets better and she has a great French Open.
I want to introduce a very good friend of mine and somebody I enjoy so much on tour. I love to watch her play. I love to commentate her and I like to be around her as a human being and as a person. And it's Ons Jabeur. Welcome to the Racquet Magazine podcast, Ons.
Thank you. I'm really flattered. I mean, what introduction here. And I actually never heard you commentating my matches, so I should.
Really? Well, one of the reasons
for that I should.
Is that I'm commentating your match. So it's pretty tough to listen. Hopefully you're not listening to me while you're playing, but it's possible.
No.
So, Ons, I want to know, I ask everybody at the start of my podcast, how did you get into tennis? Why tennis?
Well, I started because my mom wanted to like to play tennis since she was young. But after having kids, she had time and she started playing tennis. And I was the youngest in my 2 brothers and 1 sister. And she takes me with her to the tennis club. And that's how like I picked up the small racket and actually was enjoying a lot being like around my mom playing. And that's how I actually discovered tennis.
So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting situation, really, because, you know, given from where you are in the world, it's a little unusual that it's the mom, the female in your family that sort of led you down a path of sports. Was that unusual or give me a background there?
Well, to be honest, a lot of female, they do sports there. I think more the female, they're like really have a lot of energy to do stuff. So my mom was the one going to play tennis and my father was working. So it was like the combination between both. And I mean, I'm grateful that she wanted to play tennis. And because before I used to like go swimming and play tennis at the same time. But I guess I was more interested in playing tennis, which I don't regret right now, choosing tennis. And yeah, it was for me, I love competition. I love to compete either on a tennis court or outside. So it's either I want to win all the time. And I have 2 brothers. They're driving me crazy with playing football with them, playing everything, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. We have a very similar background because I also grew up doing a little bit of competitive swimming myself. So maybe that's a good thing for us. I think it's important to do a lot of sports when you're young. So what were some of the sports other than tennis that you were doing growing up?
I played football, of course, and still do because I love it. I played handball. I was running, but it was not my favorite. No, it was too tiring. But everything with the ball, I love it. So basically that's everything. And to be honest, I don't know if you know that, but I'm a huge football, you know, the football, not the soccer, you know, it's.
Yeah, I know the difference.
I say football because it's football.
Yeah, I know the difference.
I mean, I like
it's
to
okay.
say football.
I know I'm from like Australia, but I'm an international traveler. I know the difference now.
And what do you say in Australia, football or soccer?
Well, in soccer, it can be a little bit of both. It can be soccer in Australia, or it can also be, some people call it football. The people that really play and really watch, they call it football. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Football.
It's okay. It's okay. I mean, because the difference of football in Australia is rugby and AFL. So when you say football, a lot of people understand it. Plus, we have a very multicultural country growing up here.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So... you know, obviously, I know that you're from Tunisia, okay? So it's not exactly a mecca of tennis. Of course, in my day, Salima Safar was a former top 100 player in singles. But how difficult, what were the challenges in particular coming from where you came from in Northern Africa?
Honestly, when I was young, I didn't like see it as a difficult, you know, place to play tennis. For me, I had a tennis court, I had rackets, and I went to play. You know, it didn't make a lot of you know, the differences for me. And I made the choice at the age of 13 years old to, because I'm from Sousse, which is 140 kilometers far from Tunis, the capital, 2 hours driving. And I want to like live there because I was in high school practicing and going to school at the same time. So actually I was practicing like twice a day. We had balls, we had tennis rackets, we had everything. Mm-hmm. And I used to go to play Arabic championships, African championship. It was amazing for me. I didn't feel the difference. Mm-hmm. Then after, you know, people talking and saying you should have this. Of course, we don't have the same equipment as a France or Australia or USA. We don't have a big federation. We don't have a lot of people who were in the top 100. So for me, it was one of also my goals to inspire the girls who were in Tunisia or in Africa and tell them that if I made it here, it's not impossible. I know you should have a lot of equipment, you should have a lot of everything around you, but it's not the most important thing. And the most important thing is like you have to believe in yourself and then you have to work hard and achieve whatever, you know. And that's what I'm trying to do, to be honest. And it started since I've won the juniors in French Open in 2011. And that's what I started to believe even more in my dream. And I was like, yeah, this could work, to be honest, this could work.
There's a big step up from, like, you know, doing well in your own country and your own sort of environment, and then obviously doing well by winning the French Open juniors. That's a huge step up as well. But I want to know then, like, what was the difference in you mentally to say, yeah, why not? Because you didn't have a lot of, you know, idols like that you saw growing up. I mean, I guess I want to ask you, who was somebody that you looked up to that you thought, hey, maybe I could do this?
Well, I had a goal in my mind. I wanted like to really like achieve my dream and be number one. I don't know why, but I had this in me. Growing up, I used to watch a lot of Andy Roddick, and I love how he plays. I love his serve. And actually, I tweeted once and he replied, which was amazing. And he told me like he's following how I play. And I was like, whoa, you do? Really? So it was amazing to have this feedback. But I mean, something in me was telling me that I could do it. And the more people laughing at me, the more it gives me courage and you know, a lot of strength to go forward. Because I mean, I had like before winning the French Open, I had a surgery in my wrist. And yeah. Of course, people making fun. She's not gonna play anymore because after 5 months, I was hitting like not in the court. I was hitting really bad. And you know, this kind of a challenge is they give you the strength to go forward and make like really good results. And of course, if you win the French Open junior, that's good. Okay, she's gonna stop there. And then after you do, you go to the top 100. It's like, okay, that's her maximum. And now I'm 30, and I'm like, I'm still going. You know, guys, don't even follow me. You know.
Oh, I can tell you all the detractors, all the people that said you weren't gonna be anything. You have there is so much more for you to do. I mean, in my opinion, like who were some of the people? Were they more from your country, or were they just outsiders in the tennis world that were telling you, you're not going to be good enough?
More from the country. I mean, more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes they don't believe that we can do it, and it's which I understand, because we didn't have so many people growing up doing something well. But we have a lot of Olympic champions. We have a lot of people succeeding. You know, but. Those are a minority, to be honest. There's a lot of people who encouraged me and were there for me, and I'm grateful for every single person who really like supported me. And I'm just really want to show and take off this mentality that we can do it, we can be here. Okay, we are a small country, we are it's Africa, but we are human beings, we don't have anything different from other people. Just have to work hard and believe in yourself.
So, I mean, I looked at obviously some of your results over the last like 4 or 5 years. I really saw you're like a typical sort of progression up the rankings. You weren't like somebody who came onto the scene in 1 year and like was top 50 or had these great wins. You really slowly, you had to dig through,
I'm
you
slow.
Had to play. you had to play 10,000s, 25,000s, 50,000s. You got up and then you had to go back down. What's some of the things that, you know, and it continues to do that, right? You think, oh, I'm here, and then all of a sudden you're there, and you maybe get an injury and you're back here again. What are some of the things that you could tell somebody who, certainly from Tunisia or from a very obscure country, what it takes mentally before the physical part, mentally, what it takes?
Well, we all know tennis is a very tough sport mentally. And I mean, I've been pretty stable these last 2 years, much better than the other years. But I mean, I understand why. And since I got to understand why this is happening, it got much better. I don't have a typical game, you know. I know how kind of do everything, slice, drop shot. I can hit flat. I can spin. I can do everything.
Wait a second. Before you go into that, how did that happen? Like, why? Like, growing up, like, I talked to Agnieszka Radwanska about this, and you know, she explained to me why it happened. How does that happen with you?
I mean, I asked my first coach, I was like, how did I start doing these drop shots, these tricks, you know? And he tells me, like, you started on your own. I was practicing with a lot of guys when growing up. And I think it reflects my personality as a person that I hate routine. I don't want to repeating things. So I like to mix it up, and that's what happened with my game. I love fun, and I love to give the show to people, and people come and watching me. For me, it's like, I don't know, it's not just a tennis match, but it's, I like to have fun on the court. And when I have fun on the court, I play the best because I'm relaxed, I'm not stressing out and everything, you know. And when I'm enjoying the everyone supporting me and the, like, enjoying, I'm enjoying also, you know, it's the energies, it's coming back and forth with the public, with everybody watching me. So yeah, I've been changing and mix it up a lot. And at certain time, I didn't have have a choice. I don't know what to do anymore. I know what to do anything, but what should I do in this shot? So I wasn't actually going through a good tactic. I don't know. I wasn't really sticking to the plan. But since I got to fix that, I also improved physically. I improved also mentally. And I got in a good track, knowing what I really want. That's how it started to get better. And of course, with a few injuries from there. And of course, this is also related to fitness. So it helped me a lot when I improved my fitness. And to be honest, less injuries now, thank God. Hopefully, I'll be good after those 2 weeks coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a combination. It's important, I think, for you. You're such a perfect person to talk to about, like, if you have a kid, a player, you know, that's like this way, would you say it's more important to understand their personality and mold their game towards their personality, but then also teach them the importance of hard work,
definitely,
discipline, fitness? But don't change the things that makes them really good. But there's a balance, right? Like, you can't hit a drop shot on every shot. Explain why.
No, I know that. I know that. But the thing is, that's what I kind of bothered me a lot during my career. I had coaches, they wanted to change my game. I tell you, one of the coaches told me to be like Sharapova. And I'm like, at that time, I was like, okay, sure. I mean, I'm like, and then after I realized, how can I be like Sharapova? We're not the same, like, completely different. I was, because I was joking around before the match, and that was my kind of being, and let the stress out, you know. I couldn't be like this and not talk to anybody, and I don't know, it was my personality, you know. And since then, I mean, some coaches, they didn't want me to do a lot of drop shots, but instead of telling me that, maybe you should show me how maybe to have a tactical how to build the point and then finish with the drop shot, you know, and understand maybe why I do a lot of drop shot, you know. That's sometimes why I used to blame some coaches, you know. But to be honest, I found the solution that I should really rely on myself much more, and I understood. And then now I'm kind of taking the better decisions to do this, the famous drop shot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's such, I'm so fascinated by it, because, you know, obviously I played, so I understand when you should hit it, maybe when you shouldn't hit it. But Is there a time, does it come, there's a couple of questions on it. Does it come completely at last minute, or is there a plan, or is it both with you?
Actually both, because some players, of course, they know me so well and they know that when I'm going to do the drop shots, so
they go
out right away. Of course, they start running. I see them. And now, of course, in the beginning it was difficult because everybody know that I'm going to do a drop shot. But now sometimes I do drop shot in a shot that it's unexpected that I do it. So I do it, you know, and I also mix a lot with my slice. So mm-hmm. I just go like this, but you don't know if I'm going to do a drop shot or a slice, you know.
Yeah.
And I mix it up. And I also with the drop shot, I also improve my baseline game. Yeah. I'm more solid in defense. I attack much better. I'm more patient in the rallies. I run better. So also it adds a little bit with the touch. I mean, yeah, I can do a lot of damage, I think.
Yeah, I find it really interesting these days that when you look at players like Bianca Andreescu and yourself mm-hmm. and even Swiatek, and of course prior to you guys was Agnieszka Radwanska, who was so good at it as well. I'm finding that women's tennis in particular is really starting to think, and I've seen it. I've seen girls practicing next to me, practicing the drop shot, okay? So do you feel like with the success of Swiatek and, of course, Bianca and yourself, do you feel like it's a shot that we will really see a lot of? And why is it so successful?
Well, honestly, yeah, it helps a lot because I know if I play against one of the players who play like me and makes me a drop shot, I know it's going to drive me insane because like, you never know. I mean, you're going to run everywhere. They can change the rhythm. They can do this. They can do that. And also, I noticed that a lot of girls, they go into the volley right now. They change it up and playing more doubles and going to the volley to improve the volley and mix it up a little bit. And of course, if you do a drop shot, you're going to need your volley. You're going to need to be, I think it's another option, you know. It's not something you're going to rely on your game, but it's definitely a great option for mm-hmm. for the game.
Now, okay, so away from the tennis a little bit, you got named Arab Woman of the Year in 2019. I mean, excuse me. I want to know, who are the people that normally win that?
That was in London, I remember, in 2019, and they gave to each woman successful in different, like it was me in sports, some it was in politics. So different like levels and stuff. So I know that some other athletes won it, Olympic athletes. I know the Tunisian one won it also before. They gave to actresses. So I don't know who made this, but it was incredible, to be honest. I didn't know that it was going to go like, whoa, everybody was going to talk about it. But it was fun for me going 2 days to London and enjoy myself there. So it was very nice.
Yeah, that's I read that little bit. I don't do a ton of research because I know you guys so
we
well.
We make a big deal about Arab women, trust me. I mean, I don't know why, but we make a big deal about it.
How is it for you at home now? Because you are from a pretty small area in Tunisia. Obviously, you moved to Tunis, so it's bigger. But what's it like for you to go home to, you know, your small town?
Well, I mean, people recognize me much better now. They knew the name before, but now they recognize more the face. And I'm honestly happy and proud that every time imagine I go to do anything and people like, good job. I mean, even driving the car, good job. Oh, so I'm like, thank you. I'm just driving the car, you know. And they're like, people cheering actually for me, which is amazing because I don't know how to tell you, but it's a feeling that I felt, especially last year in Dubai in Doha, when I was playing and I saw all Tunisian coming to support me. I mean, wow. Even like some players I was playing Vitova the next day and she told me, so I heard you have a crowd, huh? I'm like, yeah, but I'm sorry, you know, I don't know. They're gonna be loud, but you know, it was fun. It was so much fun.
Does it mean like so much to you? Because at some point your career will end, and do you have aspirations to like get more young women who can now look Definitely. At you and be like, why not? Have you thought about like an academy or even just setting up something, or what's the future? You're still so young. And as I said, I mean, my thought is you are for sure top 10 material. So I know that there's so many things that you're going to do in your career, But what about that?
Oh, that's
part
for
of it?
Sure. Yeah, that's for sure. No, I think about those things. I think about of having my own academy in my own country, and I definitely want to inspire a lot of women and men, both. And I want to also inspire a whole continent, Africa. To be honest, I want to have a big academy. I want to set up a program. And honestly, I'm not doing this for the money. I do it to have so many girls in the top 100, top 20, top 10. And I know that. I know I can do that. And if you want, you can come and help me as a coach.
Hey, I was going to say, I've never been to Africa. It's one continent and
oh,
one
you
place.
Should.
I've
no
never
way.
Been.
Hey, no
so.
Way.
I'm
no,
happy
no,
to
no.
come.
No, you have to come.
I will teach no, slice
after COVID.
Backhand.
After COVID, we'll wait.
I teach no, slice backhand, serve, and volleys. That's my specialty. Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Perfect.
For sure. Okay, open invitation. I have it on record.
It's open, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the difficulties of Australian Open, the quarantine situation. Just a little bit of the mindset for you now going into 2 weeks of being in the room and how you approach dealing with something like this and how important it is. Is it more mental or is it physical or is it both for you?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you, it was very tough, shocking to be honest. When I heard about the news, I wasn't expecting it at all. I didn't think that we could really quarantine 2 weeks in a room knowing that we're gonna play a tournament just after. I don't mind quarantining. We've been like respecting the rules everywhere in any other country. I understand the difficulties for Australian people, how they reacted when we came here. Of course, they're COVID-free here and we come from outside. But a lot of players, I myself was in the bubble in Abu Dhabi. So I came from a bubble directly to a bubble. And I was like, no, really not going out. And COVID is everywhere. And I understand the situations. Just sometimes it's tough to accept when you have a tournament just after. And as a professional athlete, I want to be 100% ready. Also seeing other players practicing, it doesn't make it fair. Yeah. So also makes it even hard. But I mean, at the end of the day, you have to accept the situation because I honestly don't have any control over it. And I respect 100% the rules. I want everybody's safety. And we come up with the fun exercises in the room. We've been running 5Ks in the room. And we have a bike now. We're trying to do a lot of exercises. I'm trying to keep fit. Working on my mental a lot. Seeing myself playing so I don't lose that in my mind. And I heard there's some researches when you do that it's the same as practicing. So yeah. I'm using everything I can to do, and I have pretty good imagination, so trust me, when I close my eyes I can really see myself doing that drop shots.
Well, I can tell you, we did have Bianca Andreescu on the Racquet Magazine podcast, and she talked specifically about that when she was injured during that period of time. And one thing she wrote down was, I will win the Canadian Open. And remember, she didn't play from Indian Wells to Canada.
I know.
So I expect you after this is over to write on a piece of paper, I am going to
I'm imagining myself lifting the trophy.
That's
and
right.
And giving this speech.
Yeah, and that's right. And I expect you to tell everybody in the whole world it's because you told me this. Okay, that's what
Listen,
I expect.
I believe a lot in energy. I believe a lot in the spiritual world. I believe that everything happened, you should manifest it. I believe that you should ask the universe for everything. So I believe in all of these things. And I believe that this is how it's meant to be. I was meant to be to stay in the room for 2 weeks. I believe that if something bad happened to you, I know there is something good is going to happen. So I have a big faith in God, in everything is happening around us, in myself, because I know that I'm capable of. So, okay, maybe I was like a little bit upset at the beginning, but I mean, what can you do? I'm a professional athlete, yep, and I want the best, you know. So yep, now, I mean, really, I'm going to focus. Thank God I'm here. And hopefully everybody stay safe, to be honest, because this COVID, everybody hates this COVID, and hope this thing will be over very soon.
You have a great, I like the way you're thinking right now. It's good. And if we do play this after the Australian Open and you win the tournament, we can tell everybody it was because you said it here.
Yes.
A couple of last little things. I want to go back to the Australian Open last year because it's usually such mm-hmm. a great place for you. It was, of course, the first yes. time an Arab woman ever made the quarterfinals of a Grand Slam. And not only did you make the quarter last year, I mean, I had to look because I forgot the schedule, but you beat Joe Konta, you beat yeah. Garcia, and you beat Wozniacki and Wang Xiong. I mean, excuse me, like, could you have had a harder draw to make the quarterfinals? And of course, you ended up losing to the defending, defending champion in Sophia Kenin. Couple things about that tournament. Wozniacki, because it was also her last match. And can we just say, boy, did she pick a great time to retire? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She did.
Second of all,
I think she knew it.
Yeah, right. I mean, hello. But what was it like for you going on the court? Because you knew that was it, right? If you won, that was her last match. Can you give us a little like feeling of how that felt for you? Because I know you're such a nice person, and I knew that you were, there was a part of you that still was thinking that.
Let me tell you, since I was talking about manifesting things, I, of course, when I was training, I saw that she was going to retire, and it was in December or maybe before. She was going to retire in Australian Open. And I was like, I had this feeling that I was going to play her, and I was the one who's going to play her, you know? And I'm like, okay, I'll stop being crazy. I was like, I went back to practice. Okay, I was seeing the draw. She was on my side. I remember she was playing Christia Han in the first round. And we may see each other, you know, but I was like, I kept playing, you know, just like normal. I played her before in Indian Wells. I remember it was a marathon match. She likes to run a lot. And I obviously like to make a drop shot, and she gets them all. And of course, that time when I went to play the match, I was like, okay, just don't see it as a retirement match. Just see it as a normal match, tennis match. It's a Grand Slam. I don't know, it's tough and these things happen. But it was honestly my pleasure to play her that day. Everybody I know was supporting her, but it was a great atmosphere. Only regret one thing, not exchanging rackets with her. I don't know what I was thinking back then, but I was like super stressed. And she's a very nice person. And to be honest, it was a great experience for me. Probably most of the people hate me, but I mean, that's tennis.
Oh, come on, Ons. Nobody could hate you. Wait, before I want to say, did you manifest that you were going to play her and that you were going to be the one that beat her?
I thought about it.
But that you were going to be the one that was going to send her off into happy retirement.
I thought about it, to be honest. That's how I thought about it. I was like, Emma, I saw she was going to retire. I was like, am I the one who's gonna stop her career right here, right now? And it did happen. And when I was going to play her, I was like, okay, this is really happening.
You should have told everybody. Well, you know, just so you know, I manifested this like 3 months
and
ago, and
I'm
definitely
I'm crazy.
Winning. That's such a cool story. I love it. Now, listen, if I can, we can figure this out, and you figure out which racket it was that you beat her with, maybe we can figure out an exchange of the rackets.
Yeah, but if she sees this, I want her racket. I mean, I still have the racket that I played with.
That's so, what I mean. Maybe we could work out something.
Yeah, I haven't. No worries.
Let's text her and figure it out after we're done. So you get through that match. It's obviously a big deal. Everyone's talking about you, about, you know, beating Caroline. But also then you went into play Wong.
After
John,
it
sorry.
Was Wong, yeah.
And then
it
you
was
won.
Supposed it was to be Serena, to be honest.
Well, but we all know you got to play the match first, right? And she lost to Serena. Yeah, that's right. Because everyone was talking about it's going to be Serena and Wozniacki, but it didn't happen.
Yes.
On both occasions.
Yes.
What did you learn from the match with Sofia?
Well, Sofia is a tough player because to win a point against her, you really, really, really need to work hard. And it's every point. And I know it was a tough match for her as well, because I kind of heard her talking to her mom just after or something and saying that it was a very, very tough match. And I know it was a lot of stress. It's my first quarterfinal. I was maybe a little bit tired, I guess. But I mean, she was much better than me that match. I admit it. And there is no regrets. I know that I'm going to come back stronger and I'm going to take my revenge one of these days. I know that I have to believe more in myself, in my game, because I know I can really play really good. I just have to maintain that level. And I know it's all in this head. And hopefully it's going to be, this head was going to be fixed soon and play better on the court.
You had a great year, though, after that. I mean, you had some really phenomenal wins. Of course, you beat Pliskova. It's been your best win as far as ranking is concerned. I guess the next step is, obviously, you want to be top 10. Tell me how important it is for someone like Kennan Swiatek to win a French Open. Does that give players like you, who are sort of like, oh, I want to win a Grand Slam, but I'm not sure. Does that give you that feeling of like...
I manifested also.
Did you manifest both of them winning that. Or you
of
manifested
course.
That you're going to win a Grand
My
Slam?
My winning. Mine.
Great.
No, I know I'm going to do it. I know I'm going to have that title that I always wanted in my life. And
which one? Which one? I mean, let's be honest. Come on. Which one?
I love the French and I love Australia. So since it's in 2 weeks, Australian Open or more, 3 weeks, then I'm going to say Australia for now. I'm starting the process.
That was a really smart answer there, you know. And then the next one happens to be the French Open.
Really? I didn't know.
Hey, maybe you can win both. Let's manifest that. Well, I think your ability and, of course, your husband, you know, he's like working you hard. And I'm sure that hasn't been easy at times, that he's the one that has to make you run the extra, you know, couple of miles. Does that put a little bit of stress on the relationship?
At the beginning, yes, but now we are good. We actually understand each other a lot, and he's been helping me. And since actually I started with him, I'm my best ranking and my best tennis, and I'm grateful that I chose him. I mean, it's unbelievable balance for both of us. Because you know, as a tennis player, it's tough to always travel. It's a lonely life.
Yeah.
And you know how tough it is to go from each country and you don't have a home. So to be able for him to travel with me and also be my fitness coach, that's amazing. And to be honest, surviving those 2 weeks with him next to me is also amazing.
Has he got you to do some fencing? Because of course he was a competitive fencer. So have you tried that?
We did once. I tried just after we got married. And
wait, after
I say
you got
I won,
married?
You know, but yeah, just after. It was a honeymoon gift.
Were you able to get him? And actually, I've always thought fencing is a great thing for tennis, because it really does take a lot of footwork and up and back, and you know, like
especially
having good
the reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
The reaction is amazing. I mean, to be able to move. Like a small space and try to like really get the other player. It's a tough sport, really.
Yeah. I think it's probably best that you guys put the fencing, the joust. What is it? What is it called? What's that thing called?
The sword? No, the thing that is.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's it called? I don't know.
Yeah. Is he there? Is your husband there? Can you ask him what that is?
There.
What is it? A sword? Maybe, or is it a...
It's not a sieve. Sword?
Which one?
A sieve. Because there is a, three different things. There is a foil, saber,
the saber.
And epee.
Ah, the epee.
Yeah.
That's
so
it.
There is two different, because each they touch and it's different because you're allowed to touch
the body.
Some are in the back and the body. So different part of bodies. I really didn't get the rules and he didn't want to explain to me. So
maybe I'll have to get
tennis rules.
Maybe we'll get maybe one day we'll dress you up as one and we'll see how good you are.
Well,
think we're not going to do it. After you win the Australian Open, we're going to get you out and we're going to get you a saber, a jousting thing. Anyway.
He does foil.
He does foil. Okay.
Yeah. So we have to get in his,
Does he travel with his foils?
No. No, I travel with my rackets.
The only foils I use on from my hair, my gray hair. You know, I put the foil in the hair and paint it.
Come on, you don't have.
Yes, I do. Well, listen, I want to thank you for joining me. I know you don't have that much to do right now because it's
a long day. Busy with Netflix.
I hope you're watching a lot of Netflix. You're watching a lot of really good documentaries on like great champions, and I know that you're going to get through it. And
I'm setting my mind.
Exactly. But I want to thank you. I know, and I really want everyone out there that knows tennis obviously knows you, and the ones that are sort of not really familiar with you, I want them to know how great you are as a person and how fun you are. And we're so happy that you're in our sport because you make tennis so fun, and it's a joy to commentate. It's a joy to watch. I've never coached against you. So when that happens, it's not going to be fun because
don't manifest it.
Exactly. Oh no. Oh gosh. You're going to play Sam Stosur in the first round. No, that's not going to happen.
No. That's not good for me. And all the Israelis going to be against me. No.
No, let's erase that. No. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Now, wait, hold on a second. What's your ranking right now? 30? Is this the highest you've ever 30. Been? Congratulations, yes. My friend. 30,
Thank
20,
you. Thank you.
10. One, let's manifest it for you, my friend.
Let's go.
Okay. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you on the outside, my friend. I'll see you on the outside.
See you.
Okay.
Take some fresh
Good
air.
Luck. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, buddy.
And that's it for this episode of the Racquet Magazine podcast. Thanks for listening. Our host is Renee Stubbs. Our co-host and producer is me, Caitlin Thompson. Music by internationally renowned DJ Stretch Armstrong. Thanks to Tim Rogerian and the team at Acast. Find us at racquetmag.com/podcast and subscribe to us at any of your favorite podcatchers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.